Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Noon Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. We gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Never thought that I would run again. Never thought the dark past would end.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. I'm Andrew with him live from Studio A this morning. Had a little bump in the road, but you know what? We, like time next, we take a licking and we keep on ticking. Tell you, so much is going on in the world. It is the 9th day of October. We have time gone with 22. A couple of months to be out of here in 23. We'll be welcoming in, not knowing what the future holds, I tell you. However, I tell you, it's been 10 months and some strange stuff going on, some good things as well. And you know what? If you're in the Dallas area, you definitely need to get to that fair. If you need to go early, whatever the case may be, I tell you, you will have yourself a ball. I definitely did. I wasn't there long, but it was enough to get me going. And I just love the idea of eating. You know, I just like eating. I can't even disguise it. I can't even hide it. But some of the things that we're going to look at today is that we're going to look at President Biden down in Florida making a softer stand for those who want to smoke that marijuana. And we'll talk about that Nobel Peace Prize nominated Miss Oprah Lee. Remember, she's the grandmother of Juneteenth. Walk 2.5 miles every day from Fort Worth to D.C. so that she can get Juneteenth. We'll talk about that in depth. Good morning, America. It's headed to FAMU. We'll talk about that. Get some rattlers on, hopefully. Tiffany Jackson of Wiley College, just named basketball coach early in the year. Dies of cancer. We'll talk about that. Herschel Walker, first and 10. Let's do it again. First and ten. He's in a little hot water, or is he? Will that be pushed under the rug? Alabama, we talk about voting rights, things that change Alabama. They're losing their all-black districts. They're getting watered down. What should they do? We'll talk about that and even more as we get on today. Let's talk about Joe Biden here. We're going to have some folks on here shortly that's going to help us out with this great thing. Whew, marijuana. When you look at marijuana and some of these arrests, you look at a lot of arrests of a lot of blacks. Some instances in other neighborhoods, they may have a little weed on them and they say it's medicinal. They can still drive on them. We say it's medicinal, then they start searching the car. We know the improprieties of just justice. We understand that. Even when it comes to sentencing, you can have a little of this and serve a long, long sentence. They could have a lot of that and they get slapped on the hand. Can you believe that? We can believe it. We believe it because it happens all the time. You know, where our folks would get arrested over a little something, as we used to call it, a little something. But where is the equal justice under the law? Well, with that being said, the president, Biden, is getting ready to, he is rolling out in the middle of his midterms, and it's amazing how they strategize. He's slipping it out now, right with primaries coming up, or midterms, and a few Republicans are following him on this. So it's, the president is playing political ping pong right now, trying to get some support from the other side. Well, the interesting thing, what happens when it gets to the Supreme Court? With 9-5-4 is the number right now with Republicans and Democrats. How would that fare out? How would that fare out with that going on? So we will, you know, want to get some ideas on that. You know, again, marijuana is probably a lot of the kids are having a lot of states. And when I say a lot of states, from the pretty much the middle part of the country going west, over half, I would say 70% of the states have legalized marijuana, cannabis, whatever you want to call it. It's being legalized there, and so people in their possession may not get arrested. We know, of course, in Texas, they have not done anything about it. Cannot do anything. I have not done anything about it. And that's why we have in our city a lot of arrests, and especially a lot of people who look like me. So that's something that we're going to be investigating throughout. But I like the idea that the president, you know, Joe is no dummy, like they say. A lot of people will say he is, but now he's playing the politics of politics, getting a few more ears to listen. And it's going to be interesting how that unfolds. We got another piece of politics we'll talk about a little bit later, because I want people to kind of get in tune on what's going on in this country, how we're going so far left, so far right. And it's interesting. When you look at what's going on in Georgia between Herschel Walker and the incumbent, Reverend Warnock, the biggest thing that Herschel Walker, and I wanted to get into it a little late when we got a few more people on, but we'll scratch the surface a little bit about an abortion. So they're so anti-abortion, but yet still, he has not said anything as it relates to paying for an abortion. well, he said no, or the previous president said, well, things happen. You know, they want him staying in the middle of the fence. Another analogy, staying in the middle of the water, staying in the middle of Lake Erie in the wintertime, hoping they don't step in a soft spot. And that's what's going on right now. Then Herschel's son, he goes ballistic. If you haven't had an opportunity to see that, please see how he is just going ballistic. He's gone ballistic before, but he was talking about how Herschel didn't take care of him and his mom. And you know, it's a smear campaign. That I do understand. But it reminds me of an old church song. Don't sweep around. If you got to sweep around your own front door, something to that matter. Like, in other words, don't worry about what's going on my porch. Just take care of your porch. And that's what they're doing now. It's really getting down and dirty. We're going to talk about that Herschel a little bit later when we get in our show. It's just, oh, man, that thing is just heating up. And I'm going to drag it on because I got a lot to say about that. When I was in Atlanta several months ago, they was running an ad for Herschel Walker. On the football field, I am a major fan. I could kind of pull for Herschel when they had their run in 80-81 for the Georgia Bulldogs. Freshman, doing great things on the football field. Won the Heisman Trophy. No, did not win the Heisman, if I'm not mistaken, that particular year. But he was big dog. Big dog for Georgia Bulldog. And as we talk, I'm going to look up the Heisman winner. He was a big dog for the Bulldog. And they went on. Vince Dooley, they won the national championship. Then the next year he played, and then he went to the USFL. Played for then owner, previous president of the United States, Donald Trump, with the U.S., with the New Jersey Generals. Signed a big, big contract. And you see why he getting the support, because he put money in the previous president's pocket. And it was something to behold. But it was quite an event that particular year that I was talking about when he did great things as a freshman. George Rogers, won out of South Carolina that particular year, and then Marcus Allen out of USC won in 81. Then Herschel finally got the Covenant Trophy in 82. So actually, he was a junior, came out early. And then he went on to the USFL, played for a couple of teams, played for Dallas. Then he went to the National Football League, played for Dallas and Minnesota. When the Cowboys traded him from their team to Minnesota, that's when Dallas got all those big picks. And then that's when Dallas made their run in the mid-90s, mid to early 90s. So Mr. Walker walks into the political arena, and I understand what the Georgians are doing right now. They're trying to, in other words, they know Warnock is going to get a huge amount of African-American voters. They're trying to split that vote in any way they can. Because if you've ever been to Georgia, it's the same map that you see in Texas, that you would see in other states, that around your metropolitan areas, they're pretty much blue. So Atlanta has a lot of blue. Fulton County, if you remember the last election, major election, how everything around Atlanta was blue. Some parts of Savannah was blue. Then you had Macon. You had Thomasville. And even though you're further away you got from Atlanta, it definitely got red because a lot of rural areas in Georgia, especially in southern Georgia, where a lot of the peaches and a lot of their commerce is coming from. Pecans, even sugarcane way down at the bottom, because they're known for their syrup as well. With that being said, they know that they needed somebody to break up the metropolitan areas, and that's how Herschel got into the race. I think he's a political pawn that they're using, trying to get Georgia back, because we know the previous president even called the election people, stating that he needed at least 1,100 votes, X amount of votes, and I think that is tampering. And I'm so surprised. Let me back up. I'm not surprised that it's not being addressed, tampering with the elections. We distinctively heard him. They had clips. However, they never said anything, or they have put it on the back burner somewhat as they look at the tampering of the national election. So if they're doing that on the national side, can you imagine what's going on your local, whether it's your city, your county, or your state political arena? We need help all the way around the board. Every single state needs to have somebody at the door watching, somebody there to make sure that things are fair. You know, we talk about equality. Equality, last I checked, means equal. But sometimes equal to them is minus us. Get it? Minus us is equality for some. We just need more people to come out and vote. And if they're going to do some shenanigans, put some numbers out there so they really got to work hard. They either pull your vote back or try to get votes in to push it up. Crazy. But as I mentioned, when I was in Atlanta and a commercial came on, I can only think of when Herschel Walker was a cowboy. He did a substance abuse hospital, I think it was called Shake Hospital, and I said very carefully, hospital. Well, Herschel's version, Shake Hospital. Hospital. Now, does he speak any better? I don't think so. Even if he gets in, you know, he may represent the Republican Party, but he still represents us, and he's going to get some flack. You know, you've done your job. Now, how much power will you have? Will you be able to vote the way you want to vote, or will they string you up to, and I use that very carefully, string you up to vote the way they want you to vote? Of course, Warnock, Reverend Warnock, representative, congressman, you know, has been in for a short period of time after the special election, and they're trying to get him out because they know where he stands on the fence. You know, it's amazing when people know where you stand, they always try to push you off the fence, especially up. This has been going on for many years. It's been going on in your workplace, like bullying. And I'm sure we've experienced a few bullying situations. I definitely have. And, you know, going through something similar now. But that's okay. It's a lot of energy exerted to try to keep the truth from rising. And that's just so crazy. But, you know, my mother always told me, every dog has his day and some gets chewed. So I'm patient on some things, prayerful, that I don't wish anybody harm. But, you know, when you wish it harm, bad things happen. I'll leave it at that. I will leave it at that. So Herschel and Warnock, if you got friends and family that are that way, please tell them to get out and vote. Exercise their right. You can see how people are trying to deter you from voting. Say you can't, if you stand in line, you can't use the bathroom. Come on. Well, there goes the market for Depends, straight to the sky. Get you some Depends. It's a shame that you have to do that. Have your lunch pail. If you look, if you, I'm just far, I'm reaching now. If you have to use the restroom and you're in your pants, and you go in there and they deny you from voting, then you still stay in line, keep moving forward. Because if you can't use the bathroom, you know, you protected yourself by putting this on so that you continue. And, folks, we have to stay in there and vote, because think about Big Mama and Ma Dear when they had to pay to go to the polls. Or even when they paid, they took their money and didn't allow them to vote. See, they never talk about that side of it. With that being said, the sacrifices that were made to give us the opportunity to participate in the process, that should be enough for us to do what we need to do. Get in line. If you have to eat after, like you have surgery or something, don't eat after midnight, or don't drink nothing after midnight. Let's cut it to 9 o'clock so that when you get out there, you would have done your business, and then you have a little time to sit in line or stand, whatever the case may be. But voting is so important. I never thought that voting would get to this point where people are trying to redirect or deter you from participating in the process. Virginia, a lot of southern states, but, you know, as they say, don't get it twisted. Utah doing what they can to. They can't handle California. California is one of those free-spirited states. Oregon, you know, you name it. Oklahoma, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida trying to change their tune a little bit. But we must get out there and vote. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Get out and vote. Now, speaking of the South, of what's going on, the assessment is being still made there in Florida, the West Coast, Southwest of Florida. If you have some family members, please check on them. Because iron has wreaked havoc. Has wreaked havoc on the state of Florida. You know, they now they're questioning a lot of these counties. Why did they delay a lot of the people out of the Port Charlotte area, Fort Myers? The death toll has hit 94. And it's just, you know, wow. Just the Hurricane Irons, Ian, however you want to pronounce it. Dozens of drowned in the Florida storm surge. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't like Florida. I don't want to move there. I understand. But every state has some natural disaster. Unlike others, when you are in a hurricane watch, you know they're coming. They can see the development off the west coast of Africa. They can tell you when conditions are favorable, meaning the water's hot enough for the storm to grow. And the rotation of the earth on its axis is why everything comes that way. If Florida was where Texas is, then, and vice versa, Texas will get a lot of hurricanes based on the location. If it goes in the Gulf and the water's cold on the outside and pushing it towards warmer water, that's how Louisiana, the Panhandle of Florida, Alabama, Texas, all of that is because of the rotation. Sometimes some storms move east of us, way east off the coast. You have Bermuda. Sometimes the Eastern Seaboard, as we found out when Ian went through the state of Florida and went out to the Atlantic and came back across the Carolinas, folks, natural disasters happen. You see it coming. I don't honestly don't think a state should tell you to evacuate. You should know to evacuate. They do it just to make sure they can't get sued. But you should know what's going on. You should know what's going on. When a tornado hits, they may say conditions are favorable, but the only warning we get is that siren. And after they're reported, they may tell you direction or in which it's traveling. So, again, people have, this country have many, many natural disasters, droughts, fires, you forget about that, snowstorms. A lot of people don't want to live up in the Midwest because of the amount of snow that they get during the year. And it's your right not to move up north if you choose not to, or not to live in Florida. But again, certain things you know are coming. And you have to adhere to whatever warnings in that particular area that you're living in, know what to do. Now, when we got a couple of years ago in February, got that major storm, you know, we've had a few since I've been in Texas. So you know what to do, how to prepare for it. But then you get things where a lot of people lost power. Thanks to God that I didn't lose power at all during that particular episode in our lives. I may be on the grid, the hospital not too far, maybe a mile or two away. I might be on that grid. You have to remember, whenever your lights go out, if you're a hospital, they come on quicker, and most hospitals have backup generators. Fire stations, nursing homes, all of that, they'll restore their power first. So know where you are, know what to do. If you have small kids, definitely talk with them to make sure they're aware of what to do when inclement weather strikes your area. I don't care where you are, if you're in Texas, Florida, California, anywhere in this world, know what some of the natural disasters are. I would even practice fire safety as well. So a lot is going on in those areas. 95 people in Florida, all the way from Sanibel Island, 4th Myers, trying to think of other places. That's where it entered. Port Augusta, Port Charlotte, went across the state, saturated or resaturated all Central Florida. I'm interested to see what's going on with the crops. Did they say anything about the crops? I have no idea what may have been said, and hopefully we can get somebody in that region to talk about it. We have no idea. You know, it's a lot of ins and outs when it comes to storms. You know, again, Florida, the citrus, from Orlando up, Disney even got waterlogged. But I tell you, again, I was just so interested in the reaction where the president of the United States was walking around with the governor of Florida. You're talking about some enlightenment, gas and a match. But they put their differences aside for the betterment of the citizens, or as we call ourselves there, Floridians, to make sure that they gave them some type of comfort in those tough times. Yes, it was very grueling to find people there. And if you look at some of the pictures that were there, let me tell you, a lot of the snowbirds came back to Florida. A lot of trailers. you can see a few of the pictures where a lot of places were very close. They tried to stuff them in there as much as they can, as tight as they can, gave them, you know, a little distance for privacy. But those were heavy populated areas for that particular land. If it was, I'm just calling numbers, if it was 6,000 feet wide, you know, they were up to capacity. You had people up there within so many feet of the water. The surge came and just knocked everything off their foundations. And like I said, most of them were trailers. If you look at a couple places, you had some other nicer houses that were a little bit back, you're more in your two stories. Because one thing they're doing in Florida now is that they're building the base for a garage, and then your house will be on stilts. And when you have the surge, it won't be as much damage, but hopefully the poles are down deep enough to, for the reduce of the erosion that happens with that area too. So a lot of thought has been put in these homes. There was a couple from the Dallas-Fort Worth area that had a tough time finding a flight. They were trying to get out of Tampa, but ended up getting out of Fort Myers to fly back to the Dallas metropolitan area. So it can bring on a lot for a lot of people. It's about 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Andrew Wiggum on The World According to Drew. I want to say congratulations to Cheryl Smith, 10 years for the Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. Folks, if you get a chance to look after 10 years of print, joining forces with the Dallas Morning News in the city of Dallas, a great accomplishment for Ms. Smith. She was recently inducted into the Hall of Fame for journalism for the National Association of Black Journalists. Think about all the black journalists you've seen on television. Here's a young lady that is among the greatest that have ever lived to give news of color. Having color. You think about Stuart Scott, Robin Roberts, Ed Bradley, Bernard Shaw, people that we've looked up to over the years. And she's immortal right now, being into the National Association of Black Journalists, better known as the NABJ, and we have her right here in our own neck of the woods. So you need to focus on that and check out Texas Metro News, celebrating 10 years. 10 years. Time goes by so far. I remember she had the brainchild to do this. So speaking of great things, do you know the mother of Juneteenth, grandmother? She was just nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. There are five people over in Switzerland that vote for that. Hopefully she can get that. That would be a great accomplishment. This young lady, as I mentioned earlier, walked 2.5 miles. And that was significant with the fact that we found out 2.5 years later that we were free. They knew we were free, trying to get us to get that last harvest of cotton out. Don't forget Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, that little area and some areas just beyond, is the number one producer of cotton. Now, I called Dallas and you're talking about how did Dallas get into it? Go up there first, go up there, Allen. That seems to be the money now, but they still have some remnants of some cotton plant. I'm sure we can go up to Denton. It might be some cotton. when a lot of people were not aware that Texas is the number one producer of cotton. When you get a nugget, I remember my mother always told us, put that in your pipe and smoke it. I'm telling you, folks, a lot is going on in this world, this region. And I want you to think about what can we do to make it better with your kids, your grandkids. Keep them abreast of what's going on. This world is forever changing, yet staying the same. You talk about Jim Crow. Now it's James Crow. He's dressed up, got a tie on, and a briefcase. But some of you who grew up in small towns, you may not have experienced, or if you experienced, you just knew it was the way of life in that region. Now that we've gotten older, you can see how things were, and hopefully you can see things changing from where they were. Some places don't want to change. Whether it's in Texas, Alabama, they're really fighting right now for the all-black districts that they used to have. Now they're trying to water it down because that helped with equal representation in the state of Alabama. So, again, so much is going on. So little time to talk about it. We can be reached at 646-200-0459. Press 1, we get you in. I see a whole familiar number. I can't even, my eyes all crazy trying to look at it. But press 1, we can get you in. I know they pressing. I don't see that yet. But this is truly Christmas morning for me. Let's see if they're able to say something. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on, Hubbard?
What's up?
Oh, man. Barry White. Is it Barry White?
No.
Oh.
No, I ain't Barry.
Well, show you right. Show you right. I'm glad you can join me this morning. I am so glad. Glad to have you back with me. You know, we've talked about some things, and I'm going to get your opinion on a couple of them. Let me kind of mix it around. You know, we talked about Herschel Walker this morning and how his son just blew up. Talking about his daddy, what his daddy didn't do. You know, when your own family attack your character, there's something wrong with that one. It's all right for the public to scrutinize you. But I think it take a different turn when your family, you know, about what you may or may not have done. Did you get a chance to see any of that on television?
Nope.
Well, the biggest thing right now, they said that Herschel paid for an abortion several years ago. And, you know, that's the biggest thing that Republicans are talking about now. And he said he can't recall. Now, if that's not selective amnesia, I don't know what else to call it. Is it also called lying? The truth ain't in you. What was the saying that our grandmas might have said? You're lying, the truth ain't in you. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Herschel's saying. Then his son just went off. Told him he ain't doing nothing for his family. I mean, he went viral with that thing. So now they're scrambling, trying to do some damage control there in Georgia. And I know the angle, and it could be a tactical ploy error that they're saying, let's get people to feel sorry for him, how his family turned on him. You never know how people do things around here. Will it help Warnock? I'm sure some parts of it. It may even pull from it. Because people strategize when you're behind in the poll, you do anything to pull yourself back up. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. And I can't remember when you came in, but Miss Hopal Lee, who just turned 96 on October 7th, has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did catch a little bit of that.
Okay. And what's your take on it?
She was honored to be nominated. I mean, she didn't get it, but she said she was honored to be nominated.
Uh-huh.
Was happy for it.
And, you know, some people are still a little sour about the fact that, you know, Juneteenth is around. You know, and that's what we're just so afraid of hiding some of the ugly past. You know, sometimes you need the past to know where you're going in the future. And, yes, there's a lot of the past that we're not proud of. But it's got us this far. And think about it, how in church, we come this far by faith, trusting in and leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. I'm going to get the name of that song. Boy, it's coming back as much as I used to hear it growing up. And you didn't understand a lot of the stuff in church. If it had a nice beat to it, you really got into it. But it was the words that meant a lot. And it's just amazing how this country has turned inside out on some issues. State of Alabama is still fighting to keep all black districts in certain areas of Birmingham, Mobile. And we know, we experienced it right here with Eddie Bernice Johnson, pretty much at Oak Cliff. Then they stretched her up to, Richardson, trying to water down her campaign. Well, she won Richardson. And now the lady that will potentially replace her, they probably going to stretch over towards Highland Park. Who knows? But that's what they do. And Texas is no more immune than the mess in other cities throughout this country. You know, what is it going to take? And Harold, she's still awaiting the announcement of it. She was nominated, so no final word yet. Let me make sure. I want to make sure I'm very, very factual. But at 96, man, look, some of us don't even walk a mile. And she's, you know, big age, did walk all the way to D.C. 2.5 miles representing the time that we found out that we were free in Texas. We barely walk to our car right now. So my hat's off to her and what she's accomplished in this country. Who would have thought it? All right. So just to get you going as we prepare for homecoming, I don't know if I'm going to go yet. I haven't made my mind up. I got some other fish to fry. Good morning, America. It's headed to FAMU. It might be Strahan. I don't know. He may not be there because he has to go to California. Strahan, Robin Roberts, and Mr. What's the guy on the end? Stephanopoulos. Good Morning America. And I want to give you this tidbit, Harold. The president of ABC News, I'm going to let you finish the sentence. Where did she go to school? He's thinking, folks. Why do you think I left? Went to FAMU. FAMU. We'll get him back. Get him back on there here shortly. We was having a little interruption there. So I'm excited. I'm so excited about what's going on in the landscape for our children. I just hope that they take advantage of the opportunity to learn, to embrace, and make a difference in our country. That's what's so important. My generation, we put a little dent in it, but it seems like they're trying to turn it back, smooth out the rough edges. But we still got a little fight left in us. Still got a little fight left in us, so hopefully we'll get some things accomplished here as well. It's about 5 minutes to the hour. You know, we'll talk about some black college sports. Yesterday we had a major game here in Dallas, 85,000 strong. Corny dogs in the air, turkey legs, you name it. Now, I always say this. I know Jerry Jones wants that game, in Arlington. And they may have the finest venue in sports. But you can't tell me. You can't tell me that backdrop of the Cotton Bowl, world famous Cotton Bowl, and the fair, that somebody can beat that backdrop. 85,000 or 80,000 plus in that stadium. On any given day, 80,000 people can walk through the fair. Well, that 80 gives me 160,000 folks. Right there at Martin Luther King Grand Avenue, I'll say with the old name, Fitzhugh, all those streets, right there in sunny South Dallas, Robert B. Culler, all of those streets had the Eye of America upon them on yesterday. You talk about the eyes of Texas and all of that, they had the eyes on South Dallas, worldwide. Big Tech, howdy, y'all. Showcased throughout this country. And that's something we as Dallas Texians, Dallasites, as they like to call us, should be proud of. I didn't hear of any incidents. I'm sure the sun is up, you may hear something. But as of now, I did not hear of anything. So when the lights are on Dallas, Dallas really shines, really shines. And that's why they're trying to get the World Cup. Other things, I want to also say something to the AKAs, ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha. They're going to be bringing their national convention here in 2 years. So Dallas is a hotbed for excitement, hotbed for organizations to bring their national headquarters to. Not national airport, national meetings too. So we're growing up. You know, it's really such a metropolitan small town. That's what I call it. We have all the conveniences of modernization. But then we can go down a road or two and see a cow or kind of keep it grounded a little bit. But I love myself some Dallas. I love myself some Dallas. So as we approach the top of the hour, You know, some black college sports coming on. And let's see. It is almost that time. Waiting for the old hand to switch over the nine. And we'll get started with it. Right now. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Black College Sports with Andrew Whitney from Studio A, covering two equipment, CIAA, SIAC, in the SWAC. In football action yesterday, Norfolk State defeated Northern State 24-21. Maine over Hampton 31-24. Alabama A&M over Grambling State 2 overtime. 37-31. Texas Southern over Arkansas Pine Bluff, 24-17. Jackson State continues their victorious way over Alabama State, 26-12. Southern defeats Fairview after a big victory for them last week, 45-32. Tennessee State over Missouri Cookies, 41-17. All four over Mississippi Valley State, 37. And out of Orangeburg, South Carolina, Bulldogs and Rattles in tank. Fairview is victorious, 20-14 over South Carolina. Old B.I.S.O. Thank you, David, South Carolina. Always support your HBCUs. Support Paul from the college. Right here in here. Outstanding. Yeah. That's Black College Sports. All wrapped up in a nutshell. That's right. Lose your breath. It's just so much going on, folks, and I just love the idea of just bringing it to you, just talking. We get to hopefully get a few more people involved, but, you know, I don't mind talking the whole time. But I want you to get your feelings out because this gives me an opportunity to kind of unwind from a long week of activities in my life, and I just love the idea. But I want you to be a sounding board as well. Some of the things that we looked at so far, we looked at the Nobel Peace Prize nomination. We let you know that Good Morning America is going to FAMU for homecoming. Herschel Walker and Warnock fisticuffs, not just figuratively, not literally, with that race in Georgia. Alabama is trying to hold up congressional acts that were established for voting rights, and they're trying to dissolve some of these all-black areas, giving them representation in the state legislature of legislation of Alabama. The next thing we want to talk about, and I want you to chime in, hit one, that President Biden is trying to lessen the jail time for those who possess marijuana, cannabis, glaucoma medicine, weed, ganja, whatever you want to call it. And I want to get your opinion. Do you think this is a political move, just give people a break? I know it's weighted. Harold, if you can hear me, press 1, we'll get you back on. What do you think about less jail time? We've been hearing that for a while. Less jail time for those who have marijuana, possessing pot. Never did was a hardened criminal, but they got hardened criminal time if they had possession of marijuana. I think it's a good thing, but does that mean we care more and more? Do we care more? Should be a certain amount, because I'm sure it's being sold. People are getting it. If they get less time, do you think they're going to increase their volume? Always remember, for every action, there's an equal reaction. Equal or opposite reaction. So we'll see as time goes on how they're going to handle this. We're going to see if we can peek back in on Harold here. Okay. Harold had a rough night, y'all. He'll be with us shortly here. But on a sad note, Duncanville High School lost a good one. Name is Tiffany Jackson. Tiffany was an All-American at Duncanville. She went on to be an All-American at Texas. She just recently got a job at Wiley College. She played in the WNBA. Is dead at 37 years old. She's born in Longview in 1985. Died here in Dallas, October 3rd. She was the fifth pick in the 2000 draft of the WNBA. Graduate of Lincoln High School. Died of breast cancer. To my sisters who are hearing me, please go get yourself tested. When she discovered that she had some issues, at that point, nothing could be done. Ladies, we need you, just like men, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to, and I can hear myself talking, but we need to make sure that we can do it. It is just a travesty. It's bad enough that things are taking us out of here. But the few things that we can try to control is our health. It's just Wiley College is hurting right now because great expectations for this program. When they hired Jackson, their sister school of Paul Quinn College, we feel it through as well. And they just kind of going back over her life. Just unbelievable. Yeah, to our ladies, our moms, grandmas, aunties, sisters at church, sisters at work, brothers, uncles, dads, everybody. Let's do better for ourselves. Thirty-something years old. You know, we always thought everybody would be 80. And let me just give you a personal spiel. One of the best eulogies I ever attended, I think I was about 18 or 19, a childhood friend had died. He drowned. Now, we knew he couldn't swim. He had a life jacket on every time we went in the water. He was canoeing. And we just couldn't understand. We got on the guys he was with, but they said he had a jacket on. He fell out of the boat. The jacket came off. Couldn't find him. And when they did find him, of course, he had died. Okay? So certain rules you have to apply to when you're out there on the boat as well. Well, at his funeral, his mother was scheduled to sing at his funeral. Now, mind you, a mother losing their child. She had great strength, but just the idea of losing your child, they played a recording. She started out singing a solo and just couldn't do it. Understood. Truly understood. Well, if there's a silver lining in that particular funeral for me, was a pastor that had, was talking about how our friend jumped in the water, lost his life in the water. The vest fell off. When the vest fell off, the pastor stated that he fell into the hands of the Lord. Hard to believe when you're 18 years old. Couldn't get it. But then you start studying and learning, comprehending things. And how that pastor made so much sense into life. 100% of your life could come in 85. But it stated that his 100% of his life was at 18. So the point I'm trying to get across, nothing's promised to us. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's live our life to the fullest. Because as old folks always said, tomorrow's not promised. So let's make the most of today, because we can't do anything about yesterday. And who knows if we'll ever get to tomorrow. So take heed to that. And let's make the most of life. Let's make a difference in someone else's life. I'm telling you, nothing like smiling after you make somebody else smile, or somebody is grateful for what your actions were on that particular day. Let's make it happen. Because here, a young lady, 37 years old, just beginning, as we would say, just beginning. And the WNBA world is hurting. Duncanville is hurting. Texas College, Wiley, Paul Quinn, all those were black. Houston Tillerson, all hurting. She was known as T-Jack. Can you believe it? She shot a lot. She was good. But we have to go pray for the family, pray for the school, because it's a tragic thing. Just started a coaching career here in Texas. Just started. Just started. I mean, everything. Every single thing. She played with the New York Liberty, Tulsa Shock, the Sparks. And if you get a chance on there, go Google her up and see some of the great things that she accomplished on and off the court. And like I said, here she is, or there she was, just signed the coach. HBCU right down the street. So again, we just, oh my God. You know, we hear that song, Living My Best Life. Try to live it, folks. Try to live it. Because tomorrow is not promised. Here you have everything, the bull by the horns. But enjoy every day. Because when it's our time, it's our time. We can't even, we can't stop it. Ladies and guys, let's do better about our personal health. I have to hear myself talk. There are things I can do as well. And I'm going to start doing it because I'm way past 37. And I know it wasn't all my doing. I know there's a higher being that probably has some work for me to do in order to get where I am, and probably more work. But one thing I can say, when that call comes, I'm going to answer. I have no choice but to answer. But before I get that call, I need to make a difference. Again, Wiley College, my prayers are with you. Jarvis Christian, Texas College, Paul Quinn. All those small schools here in Texas, less than 2 hours apart. When Wiley hurts, we hurt. Because we are family. Definitely we are family. It's about 60 minutes after the hour. A lot has been going on. 10 years. 10 years of outstanding service through the Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. I want to thank Cheryl for the opportunity, as always. And, you know, some of the stories that she has covered. Hopefully, I did a promo, hopefully, to get on. And just kind of go through it. I don't know if she's seen it. I'm not going to spoil it. She'll probably laugh when she sees it. But those are the things. Folks, our time is short on this earth. And if you can do something to change a life in some form or fashion, that is what we need to do. You need to spread the word. Tell your friends, 646-200-0459. Again, 646-200-0459. And if you want to talk, just press 1. I'm going to refresh this a little bit and see, because I don't know if people are hitting their numbers. All right, folks. Go ahead and press 1 if you want to get in. I want to hear Cheryl. We're talking about 10 years of great things. And, you know, Cheryl mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you know someone that do office manager work, just give us a call. We'll provide that information a little bit later. But looking for a good old office manager with some great skill sets, being able to run the office, help around with news items, and you name it. I'm sure Cheryl has the list for everything for us. I'm sure she'll text me and let me know, and I can read the qualifications that's needed. You know what? Just be a good servant. Everything. Everything that's needed to get going in your life. I'll tell you, it's just outstanding. Cheryl, I'm waiting on you. I need you just for a minute so I can give you a couple of accolades. She's always busy. She might be at the airport right now. Who knows? That's how she do. That's how she do. So while she's getting it together, I know she's always there. Again, some of the things we've talked about this morning about Alabama, trying to keep some of the congressional acts in place, people trying to change things from the NAACP early days back in 1965. It's just, well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew.
Good morning.
Okay. Sound like you got your inside. Look, sound like you got your inside voice.
Okay. How are you?
You know what? Doing very well. Very well. And congratulations again on 10 years with Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. I tell you, Cheryl, places I've gone to eat lately, I look up and say, wow, there's a newspaper. I try to support our black businesses. When I go to Evans, it's there. Evans Barbecue, that is. There's a new, and I'll check it, there's a new Cajun restaurant actually in Red Oak, right on the, if you get off on Avila Road, go back east and turn right, that's Walgreens, turn right. And it circles back to the highway. There's a place there. Actually, ate there yesterday. Very, very good.
You should have had some papers you could have dropped off.
Okay. I will do that next time. I don't get to Red Oak much, but I'll make sure I have some to go out there. Very nice. The chef came out, you know, and we had some gumbo. Ooh. Yes, ma'am. It's something else.
Yes, Loka Cosmetics is out there.
Okay. I remember she said she was moving out of there. I'm going to have to find out where her storefront is. But that's what she has now, right? Storefront?
Right off the freeway. If you were going out that way and you exited Ovilla. If you're coming back from Ovilla, on your right-hand side, there's a, if going towards downtown Dallas, there's an event center.
Okay.
I think it's called the Hampton Event Center. And she's right next door in the strip there.
Okay. And, of course, I've been knowing her many, many years, Cheryl. Many years.
Yes.
And, look, now I'm telling my age now, she was a student of mine when I met her. I was teaching respiratory therapy, and she was a student of mine, and George worked with. I tried to encourage her, but you know she followed her own mindset. I know she worked at Annette. What was it?
Annette too.
Thank you. And I remember she was. Look, she used to come to class all made up, and I was like, "What? She really ready." That's what I used to say. She is ready, ready to go to the bedside. And save a life.
Always. She is something else.
You know, but that is a true testament of following her dreams, just like you have. 10 years, and so proud to be a part of that and contributing, you know, somewhat. Can do more, but you know, I do what I can, and I'm like Motel 6. I'll keep the light on. I'll put enough to keep the light on. But with Mocha Cosmetics, she too, like you, are fulfilling dreams. I don't know if you got a chance to see my clip, but I won't spoil it. I won't spoil it. I'll let you see it when it's done. And
okay.
Thank you for the part. Probably pretty much.
Well, I hope,
go ahead.
I hope to get one from your wife and your kids who have been impacted also. You know.
Okay.
We're going to be running clips, congratulatory clips from now through August.
Oh, wow. Now, folks,
yeah,
August,
it
now.
It was August 2012 when the first Texas Metro News and Garland Journal under iMessenger Media came out.
Okay. There used to be a commercial. You've come a long way, baby. I can't remember what that was, but that was... That was one of the commercials.
Was it Virginia Slim?
Huh?
Was it Virginia Slim cigarettes?
Yeah, it was cigarettes. You're right. You've come a long way, baby.
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What was the exchange between Jackson State and Alabama State?
Well, part of it was... I can't think of his name. He used to be the coach at Bethune-Cookman. And now he's there. And I guess he...
Now he's here at Alabama State?
Yeah, Jenkins. That's his name, Jenkins. And their score was 26-12, which is not quite a blowout. That's actually pretty close, two-score game. And I don't know if there was some taunting going on, but I'm going to find out as we speak. I don't know. You know, a lot of people don't like Deion. And Deion, you know, you got to have a little swagger. If you got your team represents the sentiment that some of the coaches put out there. If you're a rough nose, because you got a rough nose coach. Let's look at the Bears with Mike Ditka. He was a stickler, and the Bears of 85, they kicked butt. They didn't play with you. Now, if you had Don Shula was a quiet assassin. That's what I used to call him. They beat everybody, but they didn't, that time of day didn't require much talk. Deion, through his I think it's all strategized. It's distraction. You get the coaches off. If the coaches off, the players off. They got something they're trying to, they're trying to do. It's all a psychological approach. And I think that's what happened, with him, with Jenkins and prime time. So I'm looking it up as we go, see what we can find out. You know, he says he ain't swag. That's what he was saying. Just, you know, he disrespected Alabama A&M's Eddie Robinson Jr. That's his coach there. And I want to see the comment. They have some clips, and the clips may sound out. It was about a post-game hug.
Yeah, it didn't look like a hug to me. It didn't look like a hug, but I just know that you've seen Coach Prime be supportive of other coaches.
Uh-huh.
And he's made comments that have been they've been complimentary of other schools, and they've been beneficial for HBCUs because
right. We're
all benefiting from his efforts there. And yeah, people don't like him. People don't know him. And I think sometimes we major in the wrong things and – And other times we are just hypercritical. We want to have something to criticize. Is everything that Coach Pond says, is it going to be palatable? I would say that everything that we say ourselves, I mean, I know you've left out of a meeting and said to yourself, why did I say that? And so, you know, I just think that even we see things in ourselves that we're hypercritical of ourselves and that we let other people have a pass on.
Right.
If they did it, or we praise it another way, you know, it's we have a lot of work to do. There's been a lot of psychological damage, and so I saw them after the game, and I couldn't hear what was said or anything, and you know, I'm just saying it's a game. It's also a way build character and to help people to understand how they can be better. And
is watching coaches, and if the coaches are disappointing that, what type of impact would they have on it? But what I found, Cheryl, is that after the game, the coach said it was prior to the game, but after the game, they shook hands. That was Eddie Robinson Jr. and Deion Sanders. At post-game, tried to add post game hug. You know how we greet and you know, just give that little hug and everything. Deion stated that his exact words were, "Hey man, you had him ready to play. Good game." Was said in quote by Sanders. Shook hands and tried to embrace. He pushed off, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
so they said it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. They said it was laid up. Sanders wore a surprised look on his face as he opened his palms after Robinson pulled away. Robinson felt that he was disrespected in the media leading up to the game and pregame during the pregame, he said. And I quote here, "I thought there was a lot of disrespect the whole week. And so, you're not going to be disrespectful all week in the media." Also saying, "We didn't talk in the pregame. I was out there the whole time on the 50-yard line. He walked through the huddle, our huddle, in the end zone. He came out a long way to get on his side. Came out a long way to get on his side during the pregame. That wasn't classy at all."
That is what Alabama's coach is saying.
Correct.
So classlessness met classlessness.
Yeah. Now
that's
we
all.
I don't. Again, I didn't see all the particulars, but we know when you're at somebody's house, meaning that you're the visitor. You don't do anything to disrupt them. I'm just going by what the coach of Alabama, Alabama A&M, was it Alabama State? One of them. Hold on a second.
Alabama State.
Right there in Montgomery. And it was their homecoming. So I know everybody was up a little high for that. The queens were so pretty with their dresses on or gowns. And to lose the game, you know, fam, you hadn't been in that situation often, but it is a hurting event when you lose your homecoming.
You know,
but,
like UAP yesterday.
Huh?
Like UAPB did yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they did. But it's so much parody now. It's so much parody. With these games that are going on. So any given time, anybody can be, you know, defeated. You look at Prairie View, who beat Grambling soundly a week before. and then the letdown being lose to Southern. And Southern,
right.
Southern has not been very strong this year, but any given day, Southern can be the best team in SWAC.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I understand, you know, from that standpoint, but nothing but the ultimate respect. Because if you remember, Cheryl, we had a major problem at Bragg Stadium. And one time they used to put the visiting team on the home side of the field. And our team used to be on the what we call the student section. With that being said, the teams did not have to cross. But I remember one homecoming, we played North Carolina A&T, and we had to cross each other, and that it got real ugly. I don't know if you probably was there because we haven't missed many. And it got kind of ugly. So now what they do, they allow the visitors to go first, and then you crisscross. Because the same thing happened at Cotton Bowl with Texas OU and to Prairie View and Grambling. They let one team, the visitors, always go first, and then they let the home team go second when they're going into the locker room in the tunnel. So we have to understand that we're family, even though we're foes. You know, the world is looking for us to have that eruption with our HBCUs. It happens in every level, every single level. Unfortunately, in the Pee Wee, we had coaches shot here in Dallas over a Pee Wee football game.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said about all of that, and we have a lot of work to do. When I think about, I was watching a documentary last week and we were talking about Coach Prime. It kind of reminds me of the subject of that documentary, Muhammad Ali. And, you know, some stuff is just showmanship. You can say to someone being disrespectful, but how you aren't going to be judged on how you are disrespected. You're going to be judged on how you react to the disrespect.
Right. You're so right
and,
there.
And it wasn't good because, you know, you got to think about the people who saw it. This, in this day and age of social media, it's just like, oh, my gosh, people may see that. It's kind of like if you're in the car and your mom or dad stop at the light. I had to use mom because it was more my mom who laid hands on you. But your mom turns around and sees you hitting your sibling. Well, mm-hmm. All they see is you hitting your sibling. They don't know what your sibling did to, you know, you may have been reacting. So they missed the act that you were reacting to. And so whatever Deion, Coach Prime did all week, we are not cognizant of. All we know is what this coach displayed. And for me, I'm the type of person, I think that if there is one team that is going to catch hell if they act inappropriately out there, it's Jackson State's team, because he is going to be all over them. He is going to be all over them because, you know, talk is cheap, and Deion could have talked all day and got out there and they could have gotten their butts beat.
Yeah.
But there's a certain thing that you are not going to do. You know, just like when I watched him tell one of the team members to take his hat off, you know, in the press conference. And he's preparing those young men for life, and that's what you want to occur. That's what you want to occur when those coaches, and the coaches talk about how, you know, I've never been recruited by a coach before, but they promise those families that they're going to take care of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And we know a lot of their children have not been taken care of because they didn't graduate. They may have gotten hurt, and you never hear from them again. A lot of things happen. Every child did not get taken care of. But you can look at coaches at HBCUs and, you know, at some other schools and see that coaches kept their word, and they also tried to build character and their man. And I'm sure if someone says anything, I just watch, you know, you see more because of social media. And I just encourage everyone, be conscious of and conscientious about social media and the images that are put out there, because people had serious issues with Muhammad Ali, and now revision his history and everything, everybody loves him and they can't get enough of him.
Right. Can you envision if social media was around with Ali, that era? I know he would have given them a lot of sound bites. He did anyway. But a lot of sound bites, it would have been Instagram, he would have been across, look, he would have gone across the country quicker than he could have flown. So, you know, things of that nature. But, and we're quick to judge initially on what, and trying to say, well, okay, there's a reason, may have been a reason why he did or did not do what he did, but you're quick to judge. And to know Dion, I mean, even those times I've been around, he's been very, you know, a lot of people rush you, but he's been very, very calm to me. You know, I mean, I know the spotlight is upon him. But he's always been very attentive, you know, and we know him from his first wife. And this, if he know you went to FAMU or something like that, you know, it seems like he let it down a little bit. Because we all know his first wife came from FAMU.
Right.
Great. But the thing is the fact that, you know, he's a showman. He always been like this, and I don't know why people expect anything less, because that's just who he is. But there's certain etiquette that you show on a football field, and hopefully he didn't do that part, or why didn't the coach confront him earlier? And not to get into confrontation, say, Coach, hey, next time walk around. If he did walk through, of course, we were not there to see that part. But again, when the game is over, you exchange pleasantries. In this case, it wasn't all pleasant. And then go on. That's the sportsmanship. But if your kids see that you're not showing sportsmanship, then they're going to say, well, Coach, you didn't do it. Then you're starting some dissension in your own ranks.
Because that's where it comes from. Do what I say and not what I do, but you have to live. We're dealing with a different breed today, you know. And for me, you know, no blaming. You can't really blame, because I said, oh gosh, these children or something. Then I said, oh my gosh, I can't blame them. I gotta blame the parents. But then I'm proof positive that I see my kids doing stuff I know they didn't get from me, and I know they were cautioned against. And so they have a lot of societal things, issues that they're dealing with. But there has to be something said, you know, when you see something, you say something. And we give these kids too much of a pass, and that makes them ill-equipped to deal with society. So I'm glad, because they're even coaches, because we went through an era where coaches were making more, you know, players were making more than the coaches they were playing for. And so they got to a point where they said, I'll get this coach fired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, everyone's being equal. And they said, what does equal mean? There's still you know, you have kids today who say, if my mom yells at me, I yell back at her because I'm an adult too. And I just, you know, that's warped for me. It really is. It's a warped sense of being that makes you say that, you know.
Well, I just hope that the brand right now is great for our historically black colleges and universities, and that, you know, it's kind of like if something's moving in that Petri dish, that we go back to the first biology class or microbiology, and something moves, you're going to know it. And that's how they are there under the microscope right now. As far as our schools, I know that Dion aspirations, the question now, Cheryl, is how long will he be at Jackson State?
And I wonder why is that an issue? People, oh, he's just doing this, he's just doing that. And it's just like, and so what? If that is what he's doing, if it is a stepping stone for him, how often do we have stepping stones? How often have you stepping stones in your life? And you're being criticized for being ambitious, for having goals. I will tell you this, whatever the man's goals are, he's leaving Jackson, whenever he leaves Jackson State, he's leaving it better than when he got there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then again, Cheryl, with that being said about him, it's very few times that a brother of color, okay, and Dion has the extra hardware to go with it, that they get a major, FBS team. And we're trying to figure out where he may go. But I think, honestly, the reason why he's there, not only to help Jackson State out, but to make sure, from a personal standpoint, coaching your boys, making sure nobody's taking advantage of your kids.
Right. That's a good point.
We'll all go our separate ways, because his son is proven to be a very good quarterback. Can you imagine if he would have gone somewhere else, they would have put him at tight end or wide receiver? Would have given a black quarterback an opportunity to play, even though we're getting more chances. But they would have set him down because he's a Sanders. Not even trying to look at his talent. They may have set him down because of who his father is and was. But give a kid his own avenue to run down. We know if your father, your mother is one way, they're going to have their imprint on them. But then it's going to be watered down because nobody can be what their parent was. We can try to emulate them, but we can never be or impact the world the way their parents may have. So I really think he's doing it to protect them through the process. The son is making money in college, which was a boo-boo or no-no back in the day. But the NCAA said that they can make money off their likeness or, you know, whatever activity they're into. So it's big, big business for everybody. He bought his teammates some watches or something. You know, when the last time a brother in college bought some gifts like that, some nice gifts. Could be earphones, headsets. But they paying the guys. They know how much money they generate at NCAA, no matter what level. How much money the football programs generate money for the whole season for athletics, for the most part. And with that being said, it's very important to our organizations. Now you get 60,000+ people at every game. Now your concessions go up, parking attending go up, season ticket holders. This guy, everything he's touched has been gold in some form or fashion. And I only feel bad for him for the fact of the health issues he's going through. And to me, that shows that he's mortal. We put him on such a pedestal in professional football that if he would have been taking care of himself a little better, he may not have lost toes. You know, you say that, but yeah. You know, I can beat this. It can be a little small little corn or something that may have gotten infected and you just kind of kept going. I'm at a high level. Anybody, just not him. I'm at a high level. I have to stay a high level. But right near the end of his career, he started having ankle problems. He had something with his foot, and this may be when he had an infection in his foot. So as we get older, and it's not so much he's a professional, was a professional athlete, but we have to figure in big mama, health issues, grandma, mama, uncle, daddy, sister, brother, everybody that's contributing to his DNA. Well, he developed problems. They did the best thing for him. And he's limping a lot. But not to have your big toe, that's your stabilizer for your balance. See, when you have everything working, you have a tendency not to miss any functionality that's associated with toes or your feet. As long as you have a big toe, you're walking good. Can you imagine if you kind of tilt it because you don't have a big toe? If yours is intact, you'll never understand. But I think it's quite
brave. I think that whatever he's going through, I think that it's a lesson that he's also sharing with his teammates, team members, and it may save another life, may save another toe, foot, limb of someone else, because I'm sure he had to talk to his players about what was going on.
Right.
There's a lot of shooting.
You used to be a part of the basketball team, helping them with statistics. When you share a lot of time with a group, it's almost like they become family. You kind of learn their idiosyncrasies to their lives. They learn yours. Then you just kind of get a relationship with that group. And that's what he's done. So when he hurt, they hurt. They carried on extremely well last season. A season before last, I think it was, when he had some health issues.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. The other day he was talking to the team, and he had one of the Latino members come up and say it in Spanish with him. And just, you know, just really taking a deep dive into what is being student athlete. And I saw a lot of that from the coach, Dr. Roebuck, at Grambling State University, the female band director, which I heard from everyone that Grambling's band put on a show. And just, you know, when she talked about who travels with them and how she has somebody who deals with the mental and the physical. And really the social aspects of these young folks' lives, because they are not as resilient as we were.
Right. And then
that is really unfortunate.
Right. And you mentioned the Grambling coach. I mean, the Grambling director. I mean, watching her direct her band was like no other.
Oh, yeah?
I would like to find out where she did her undergrad. Did she do her undergrad at Graham?
Yes, she did. Okay. She from a little town in Louisiana, Mendon.
Yeah, which is not far from Grambling. It's up there all 20 as well.
Okay.
But I think about all the females, or the young ladies, excuse me, that are in these bands from middle school to high school. Southern and FAMU have been male-dominated for years. Now, maybe more women in the band than guys.
And then you see white band players, Latino, you know, people want to be a part of a good band and a different showmanship. And, you know, the band deserves, you know, if you could just be equal across the board with program that's a part of that institution, it's seen as great and seen as, because all of them can make money, whether it's through research, through grants. There are ways, those majoring in biology, there are things that they're doing, especially schools doing with CBD. There are things that folks are doing that could make every program at your school should be premier. Or don't have it, your nursing school, your pharmacy, all of them. On a quick note, I know because you're running out of time, I wanted to give a shout out to Reverend Peter Johnson and to Arthur Jim Schultz, and we were together for a discussion about Jim Schultz's book, The Accommodation. And I just want to say, I think we have to do a better job of understanding your history, and that means you don't run away from it saying CRT, critical race theory, is bad. No, you try to find out and share history, and also register to vote. We do need to get our voting on in a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think this week with deadline to get you active in the platform to in order to vote. So we have that, folks, that you need to adhere to, make sure that you're in the book so that you can vote. There's some key things, not only in this country, but in the state, even in your own municipality, there's some things going on. City council, county commissioner, mayor in some of the outlying areas that are so important.
Governor.
Yeah, you're so right. As we wind it down, we're about a minute and a half left. I was looking at Dr. Nicole Robach, who is director there at Grambling. And it was good seeing her up there on the ladder. You don't see that often, not at some of our historically black colleges. But for her to be up there, and by the way, Cheryl, with the article I wrote for you, say that Grambling did win in the halftime. They really showed. They also did something that I thought was interesting. They didn't put the instruments down to dance. So that FAMU spirit is catching on in the SWAC.
I know Clarence Hill from he was teasing me about it because I said, what do you call a band that puts their instruments down during their show? Because, you know, your instruments are a part of like an extension of your arm, I thought.
Right. And then look, and we know, and to dance and play. So that's the left and the right side operating there. But Cheryl, thank you as always for being a part, contributing to the World According to Drew. Again, congratulations on 10 years of outstanding media coverage through the medium of print with the Texas Metro News and the Garland Journal. We thank you so much. And, folks, we'll be back here next week. Cheryl, FAMU goes to Grambling. Hopefully we'll be there and be able to even talk to the director of bands there next week. So whatever you do, wherever you go, I always say what we need now is love, sweet love. I forgot who made the song, but when you get that one sweet love, all that good thing, all we want to do is have an on-time God. I'm out. Peace.